You're listening to the Well One Connection, connecting you to important healthcare information. The Well One Connection is a weekly program of Huron Regional Medical Center. Huron Regional Medical Center, providing quality healthcare close to home. Online at huronregional.org.
All right, so today we are talking with Jake Redden, who is HRMC's Vice President of Quality and Support Services. And our topic today is something that a lot of people are talking about, and it's on the news. Most every channel you would turn to, and that is coronavirus. So we have new information about how the coronavirus can spread.
Yeah, so right now in the United States, first of all, I want to make sure that everyone realizes the risk is very low for us in the United States. It is spreading rapidly within the provinces of China, where it originated. In a little over, since mid-January, they started with 300 cases to about 80,000 cases this week that we know of. But again, because of the travel restrictions we've put in place, the mandatory quarantines that the government has implemented since the administration has declared a public health emergency, the risk to the United States currently is very low.
So what is the new piece of information we have that we want to talk to even our community about?
Yeah, so great question. Previously, we knew that the primary mode of transmission is what's called droplets, where tiny little pieces of fluid are traveling from an infected person to a non-infected person. And this is something you would see during sneezes, coughing, or any type of respiratory expression that we would see. What we've learned now is that it is appearing to stay alive on flat spaces. So instead of just a person-to-person contamination risk, there is a secondary risk of contact where an infected person may have already been, such as the door handles or flat spaces in buildings, any type of shared materials that can keep that alive. And that bug will stay alive for up to 9 days on flat spaces as a secondary contamination risk.
So someone's infected, they sneeze or cough, it's on their hands, they touch a surface, it can live for 9 days.
That's exactly right.
Okay. So with this new information, it's even more important to take precautions like we've been talking about just with the regular flu season. So let's go over how do we protect ourselves.
That's right. Just like any other respiratory risks that we have out there, practicing good hand hygiene is, of course, the hallmark of safety. Vigorous hand washing with warm water and soap for at least 60 seconds is what we look for. Another great tool is our alcohol-based hand sanitizers. But again, the trick for that is it also has to be 60 seconds. So if you're using an alcohol-based hand sanitizer, you've got to keep that fully on your hands for at least 60 seconds to get it to kill all the viruses that are out there on your hands.
So not a tiny drop.
Not a tiny drop, not a 15-second self-evaporation. You want it to have a good amount of hand gel on your hands. After 60 seconds, you almost have to shake it off. That's what we would be looking for.
And even down to the wrists, I think people don't think like where your watch is and up your arms a little bit, but all of the hand.
Exactly, all of that hand. And in addition to keeping your hands clean, you know, follow good cold weather etiquette, where if you're sneezing, try to sneeze into your arm. Wash your hands frequently if you do sneeze. You want to cover your mouth when coughing or sneezing. And then for those flat spaces, that also we want to make sure that we're sanitizing regularly. So around your home, if you have places where folks are coming through often, we want to do is at least a bleach cleaning in order to sterilize something for either the flu virus or coronavirus or any of the other many respiratory viruses that are out there. So on any bleach container, if you take a look, it'll have specific instructions for how your bleach will work best. You definitely don't want to go with a direct bleach type pour. It's going to be mixed with water, and it's a very small amount of bleach is all it takes. But again, when you're wiping those flat surfaces, you want to aim to keep that surface wet for at least 60 seconds for the bleach to do its work in killing those viruses.
So don't be stingy.
Don't be stingy. Do it often and effective for those 60 seconds. Absolutely.
Okay, and then we have one more key prevention. If people haven't gotten their flu shot, it might feel like it's too late because it's February, almost March, but is it?
It is not too late. We are still in the middle of a very serious flu season this year. It's definitely impacted us across the United States as well as here in our Huron community. So go in and get your flu shot if you haven't. One of the best ways to protect yourself from coronavirus as well as the other influenzas is through that vaccine, because the coronavirus is impacting people that have other viruses already in their system or have other compromised immune systems in place. So by doing your flu virus now, it's going to help protect you from those respiratory disorders associated with both the flu as well as any other issues and viruses that are out there currently.
So CDC just came out with the effectiveness of our current vaccine, and so then that makes some people go, well, why should I even do it? But what you're saying is it's the other things that are going to come from.
That's right. If you have a unvaccinated flu and you do receive the flu, you're going to end up likely needing some kind of advanced level of care other than just stay-at-home type care interventions. And anytime you're coming into risk with other diseases and other viruses, such as in a close quarters environment that a hospital sometimes produces, you do put yourself at risk for other viruses. So keeping it safe by doing that preventative step helps keep you away from the hospital and keeps you safe at home.
If we do need to stay home because we're sick or stay away from other infected people, we need to have some supplies.
Yeah, so again, one of the great preparations, the good folks here in our Huron community and in South Dakota should be no stranger to a winter survival kit in the event that you do have to stay home because of a large amount of snowfall. And if everyone, what I would recommend is to be able to sustain yourself for about 14 days as we would look for. That's a great lesson learned this year from Fargo when they had a large snowfall. It took them several weeks for the city to be able to clear the roads for people to get out and about. So having a good winter survival kit with about 14 days of food and supplies is what will help make everyone prepared in the event that there is an unnecessary event in the United States.
We just talked about how individuals in our community can protect themselves. HRMC, of course, is connected to CDC and all of the national resources for making sure we're protecting ourselves and our patients. So tell us a little bit about what we're doing as a hospital to protect the community, also ourselves and our employees.
The hospital has taken a lot of preparedness efforts. We are dusting off our emergency management plans and working close with our community and our emergency management team here in the community, as well as our federal partners, receiving up-to-date guidances on almost a daily basis. In addition, we are in the middle of a flu outbreak. In order to help prevent a lot of the flu spread that we're looking for, we have implemented visitor restrictions. And again, this is not related to coronavirus, since that risk is low in the United States. This is purely to help address the flu influenza virus. We are implementing our visitor restrictions, which is limiting the amount of people that are coming into the hospital to visit our patients. We want to make sure that those folks that do come in are over the age of 12, in good health, and free of any recent respiratory or stomach flu symptoms. In addition, we're encouraging everyone to go out and get that flu virus, wash your hands well and often, covering your mouth with nose and nose when you cough or sneeze, avoid crowds or close contacts, stay home when you're sick, and take care of your health every day by eating well and moving more.
Our staff have added some lines of question to our patient intake. Tell us a little bit about how we're making sure we can identify coronavirus and then do what we need to do.
Sure. So geographic is primarily the largest symptom that we're pre-screening folks for. So if they come in and they have expressed that they have traveled outside the country, then the next step is to look for any of those signs and symptoms. The signs and symptoms of coronavirus are related to a lot of our respiratory disorders, and that'll start out with a fever, followed by a dry cough, and then it'll lead to ultimately shortness of breath after about a week of incubation inside the system. With the most severe cases, we can see the infection causing pneumonia, severe acute respiratory syndrome, or kidney failure.
And then we take actions that are on our plan if we suspect, and then we would do the testing and be able to follow through with that.
Correct. We have a partnership with the CDC through the state who will do the testing for the coronavirus specifically. But until those results come back, we have isolation protocols in place to make sure that the patients that come in that need to be treated that might be at risk are taken care of in the best way possible without producing any spread risk to our community or the caretakers that are privileged to take care of our community.
I'm a community member. I get some symptoms. Maybe I have the fever, the dry cough. What should my first step be?
So great question. And of course, with any illness or any questions you have about your health, we want to encourage you to utilize your health insurance nurse triage line. So on the back of almost everyone's insurance card, you should find a nurse line or via the insurance company's website, an 800 number usually that you can call and talk to a nurse who can give you direct feedback about your signs and symptoms. Of course, reaching out to your primary care providers, any of your quick care resources in your communities is a great first step. But if your symptoms are severe and you are concerned about your health, absolutely come into the hospital through the emergency department. We'll be able to take care of you. We definitely don't want to overreact. We see a lot of flu right now, and we're seeing a lot of colds. It is that season. This is pretty standard. So again, any of those initial steps prior to coming to the hospital, because again, we want to keep you safe, and doing that, best way to keep you safe is by going through your primary care providers or any of your triage type care systems that are in place.
Both influenza and coronavirus, by taking the supportive care measures, a healthy person just needs to take the time to recover.
Correct. Yeah, it's a very low negative health numbers with regarded to the different viruses. So again, just staying healthy, eating right, staying active is one of the best defenses to help protect yourself from the flu and the coronavirus.
And we just may not be able to be as friendly shaking hands in church and all of that just until we get through to spring.
Absolutely. And if you do shake hands, just use that hand sanitizer.
For 60 seconds.
For 60 seconds.
You've been listening to the Well One Connection, connecting you to important healthcare information. This program is for general use only and is not meant to replace the advice of your doctor or other medical professional. If you have questions, contact your healthcare provider. The Well One Connection is a weekly program of Huron Regional Medical Center, providing quality healthcare close to home. Online at HuronRegional.org.